Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 69. I'm kind of regretting now. I feel like we should have done like a sex and cinema episode here, but as it stands, we just have some new movies to talk about. I'm Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Yep, that's me.
Starting off, we both went and saw a new horror film in theaters, The Witch, written and directed by Robert Eggers. It's about a family that lives in 1630 New England, who they get kicked out of the village that they're living in. They have to go out and try to survive on their own in the wilderness, and they set up a farm. And essentially, it's one of these isolated families kind of falling apart. Kind of like, The Shining or something like that. And there may or may not be a witch out there that's messing with them. I feel like it's a bit of a slow moving film that I think a lot of people will find it to be too much of an art house film. It's just a little slow. It's kind of hard to get into. The dialogue is very well written, but kind of in that, kind of like how we watch a Western, it's very stylized and almost foreign to us. I have no problem with that type of dialogue. I like it. I do think, though, that here some of the lines kind of sound a little mumbled, so that could kind of mess with your understanding of what is being said in certain scenes. The film is creepy. I never found it to be really terrifying or, quite as intense as, even one that we were talking about last week, The Babadook. It's just a very slowly, or it feels a little slow. This family starts to think that there's this witch messing with them, and in my opinion, the film was kind of about their religious zealotry. It is kind of what gets them kicked out into the wilderness, which is never entirely explained. You see a little, what is like a little hearing at the beginning of the film, where they want him to say something, and he's like, "Well," the father's like, "Well, I believe in God, or I believe in my religion, and that's it." And so they get kicked out of this village, and
Which
then
is crazy because like
because
you're
back then
talking
everyone was
puritanical
yeah
like
they
New
weren't
England.
they
It's like I found that a little hard to buy that somebody like was
absolutely
too conservative.
exactly. I mean, you're talking about this is the heyday of religious zealots. They went on to burn people who they thought were
Right,
witches,
but it's besides the point.
but yeah, but no, but I did find that very weird, and I also found it kind of convenient that Eggers never had to come up with a real full explanation for what they had done to get kicked out of the village.
I mean, when we get to my point of it, I think it might have worked a little better without that opening scene.
Well, we gotta know that, you could just have it be a family that lives out on a farm.
Like it doesn't need there doesn't need to have like the we're gonna because it didn't make any sense. Like it's what go keep going.
Well,
I have thoughts.
I think it speaks to the rest of the film. The opening, I think, does speak to the rest of the film because these people are so religious that they start to turn on each other. And on top of that, I don't know if I've seen anyone else make this point, when things start to go bad and they think the witch is very early on, a infant child in the family goes missing and they think it's a witch that's doing it. Or most people would, if they think something crazy is going out there in the woods, they might be like, let's go somewhere else. Instead, they think that they're sinners and they're being punished for their sins, and only if they loved God enough that none of these bad things would happen to them. So it's interesting. I think it's bottom line, I think it's a good effective horror film that's a little bit slow, and I think it's going to be a little bit too art house for most moviegoers. I think a lot of people who are going to see this movie are going to come walking out of it at the end and go, "That was it." And I even our friend of the show, Mr. Too Fresh, he said at his screening that at the very end, someone was just like, "That's the dumbest movie I've ever fucking seen." Like they said it really loud. And there's also, if you remember the nipple scene shortly before that, Chris, the same person in the audience screamed, "What the fuck?" Started
I actually thought that was a
see
really good
that.
scene, but
I think that's one of the strongest horror scenes in the film. I think that the person in the audience, their reaction to that just goes to show that it made them nervous. Like I said, I think there's some great, one, great cinematography. I do think that the writing is pretty strong in terms of the dialogue. I think it's got a good atmosphere to it, and I do think that once the shit really starts to hit the fan near the end, it's pretty effective. But I do think we've seen stronger examples of the same type of story, like the same family turning against each other. I think that The Babadook is a stronger example. I think The Shining is a stronger example. And I think one thing that hurts this movie, besides the fact that I don't think most general audiences, it's not the type of horror movie that someone who's not a horror fan is going to really love, I don't think. But I do think another thing that hurts it is that most critics did enjoy it quite a bit. And it's getting kind of hyperbolic praise, like that's like the best horror movie since The Exorcist and stuff like this.
yeah, and like, oh, it's like terrifying, and
It's not that
it's
scary.
like, yeah, like I heard people, it's the scariest film they've seen all year. I mean, that in itself is hyperbolic. We're only two
This is
months in,
February.
but like it's, you hear stuff like that and you go in,
It
especially
gets me
general audiences.
excited.
Yeah, I mean, you were like really excited. Like you tweet, there was, I think you either tweeted or put on Facebook a grab from, was it Empire magazine or
I forgot which one it was from.
something like that though, and it was like a clip of their review, basically like proclaiming it like this masterpiece of horror.
This guy was like, I came out of the theater crying, not because
Yes.
it was so emotionally draining, but because it reminded me of why I love horror films in the first
Right.
place. I don't, I mean, I understand critics liking it and liking it quite a bit, like even more than I did. I don't understand that type of reaction though, that it's just like this masterpiece. It's good, but I mean, some of it does feel a little slow and stilted. I do think that some of the dialogue gets kind of mumbled, and so it could kind of be hard to understand what's going on. And then, while I found a lot of the scenes near the end pretty damn effective and pretty cool, I kind of felt where it was going a little bit before the film wanted me to like, I kind of, oh, I see what's coming around the next curve. So yeah, Chris, chime in a little bit more. Wait.
I can't, I mean, I went to see it briefly before you did, like a couple hours. You were like, let me know how it is. So I texted you. I'm like, I didn't like it. Actually, it wasn't that I definitely went in with the expectation of like some super scary horror film, and what I came out of was a well-made period piece. That deals with some dark subject matter and has like a horror tinge to it.
See, I don't agree. I've seen a couple critics say it's not even a horror film. I don't know if I agree with that. I think it is. I think it is in the genre. It's not giving you your standard.
I think you can put it in the genre. I just don't think it's a good horror film. Like, imagine, like, I mean, there's plenty of horror films that, I mean, they don't work for everybody. We kind of already touched on that, like that opening scene where these puritanical family is getting kicked out of like the town, to be sent out on their own. And there are things about like what you said that I would have agreed with if they didn't throw in the show you the supernatural elements.
Well, that's another problem for the movie, I think, too,
Like,
because the movie
yeah,
is
it's like
saying
right after the baby gets taken, they show you the witch.
they do,
Like,
and kind of, but yeah, they do actually, they
yeah,
do.
they show, like, they
Yeah,
show the
it's
witch
pretty
killing the baby
gory.
and
Yeah,
then
yeah.
smearing herself in, and it's a twisted scene, and I'm like, oh, this is fucked up.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it goes, it like settles back into this family drama and the descent into madness with them. And like, that's, I think that's my biggest problem with it, is that
Yeah.
it is this issue of, I think it would have been way stronger if it would have been this descent into madness because of their religion, but they
Yes.
weren't wrong. Like, they were being haunted by a witch. Their children were possessed. Like, it's just their pinning the blame on their oldest daughter wasn't correct. I think that's what I had the biggest issue with.
I think it I and this is something I thought about a lot as well. It is very problematic. The thesis of the film is that these people's religion got in the way of them surviving. I mean, that is, I don't know how you read it any other way. But they're right. That's the, you know what I mean? You know what I'm
Right,
saying? You
they're
can't,
not
there's
wrong. Like, I mean, they are being haunted by a witch.
You know, if there is a witch out there, then the supernatural is real, and that's religion is supernatural. So the movie wants to have it both ways,
Right,
where it
like
wants to
that's where I
invite
thought, like,
people.
if they don't, and that ending totally burned me. Like, I was, it made me so angry.
The final shot.
Not the final shot, like where she's like floating away or whatever, but the scene with, what's it, Black William, like Black
Black Phillip,
Phillip,
the
she's
goat,
talking
yeah.
to the male goat.
I kind of loved it when the goat started talking, but
What's like, it's this great
spoilers.
thing, but it like doesn't fit.
Well, it's like
It's
you
all,
said,
I think
it's
all the supernatural elements just don't fit with the film, and I think if they are out of it, it's a way stronger movie.
I do think it is very problematic. I have read reviews. I read a review that suggested that all the supernatural stuff that you're seeing is stuff that's in the family's head. Like they're imagining this witch out there, you know, smearing herself in gore and all this. And that's a nice way to read the film to make it work.
Right.
I don't know if that
I
flies.
don't know if they infer that enough, because they do play with perception.
Yeah.
Because there is the bird scene, the nipple scene, where she, the mother thinks she is like that her baby has come back to her and she's nursing the baby, and really it's this fucking crow that they have that is pecking away at her in her delirium.
Yeah.
Like, it's this fucking awesome scene. It's
Yeah.
actually probably one of the most horrific scenes in the movie. And so they found a way there to play with perception. Like, you are seeing what she's seeing, but you're also seeing the reality of it. Like,
Yeah, but then the animals are being controlled by the witch, though. You know, it's
right. But that's like, I think that scene works. Like,
Yeah,
you
it's
take
great.
all the other supernatural scenes out, that scene works because it's showing her descent into Crazy Town.
Yeah, you don't need the supernatural element for that crow to be there. Yeah.
But yeah, like they have like the other goat turning into the witch. They have, you know, they show the witch very early on killing the baby, and I don't think it's right, they're not right away. They don't right away blame a witch. Like, in fact, I'm not even sure that a witch has been mentioned at that point, because they, the father, the mother is very like sketchy on her daughter to begin with. Probably, I mean, I don't know exactly how I would react, but when Thomasin, the oldest daughter, like, she comes back and like, hey, shit, the baby's gone. Like, yeah, as a mother, you would think, like, I left my child with you. You should have taken better care of it. Like, how did you lose it? And like. And the father's being more practical. He is thinking, like, maybe a wolf took it. Like, although
Yeah.
there's no proof of that,
Yeah.
but like, that seems to be where his line of thinking is. And it's not until later that, like, you know, the idea of a witch is presented. But we already know about the witch, because shortly after that, after the baby's taken, we see the witch.
We get to see it. We know the title of the movie. Yeah,
Right.
it's I there's a lot of things I like about it. I do think that the main complaint that you brought up is very problematic. It's something I've churned over in my head over and over. And the only way it really works is if you say what the one critic I read said.
Right, if you
Forgot. I wanted to
tie it
say.
to
I
together.
want to say it was a review for the New Yorker or something, some big publication. But yeah, it's all in their head. And these people, what's scary about it is these are people that fear eternal damnation the whole time, and you're kind of watching the world through their paranoid eyes.
Right.
And that's, yeah, if you read it that way, but I don't think that the film really lends itself to that interpretation. I
Right.
think it says,
As you
no, there
said
is
it,
something out
yeah,
there.
as you said it wants both out of it,
Yeah.
like which is, I think that was where my biggest issue with it came from. I like the way it was shot. I think it looks beautiful. I think the performances are very strong. The music is fucking phenomenal. It's super
Yeah.
creepy and atmospheric. The cinematography is, it's dark, it's appropriate. It mostly fits for
It's
what's going on. It's very
gloomy.
artistic. Yeah, it's very gloomy. Like once they leave the town, you never really see another person, so it feels isolated. It's those problems that really kind of like drug it down for me. But
Yeah, there's a lot in there I like. I like Black Phillip, honestly, and I kind of, like what happens with that goat. I think the two little twins are creepy.
they're super creepy.
I think the young girl who we kind of identify with throughout the film, she does a good job. I think there's like just a lot of nice little subtle touches in it too. Like there's one part where she's down by the stream with her brother, and he you could catch him kind of looking at
Yeah,
her breasts.
they keep and that's what's so kind of funny about that review you're talking about, saying that it's all in their head, that it's like this kind of inflection, because the film does a good job of telling you exactly what it wants you to think.
Yeah.
Like, because they could have that scene, but if they don't keep kind of focusing on Thomason's chest and like specifically like the in-between portions of her shirt, and
Yeah.
like they could still have that conversation, and like he could still, but if they pull back and you're not focusing on that scene takes on a different kind of different
Yeah.
like direction. It just becomes brother and sister talking instead of, brother out in the wild beginning to hit puberty. And
Yeah, and just the way it's shot, the way
yeah.
the camera focuses on her breasts, you could tell what the kid is thinking. And then knowing what this family, like he's thinking he's going to hell and this and
Yeah.
this and that. There's a lot of things I like about it. I don't think that the main problem you had with it, and I have that problem too. Like I did, I thought about it a lot. I don't think it ruins the movie entirely, but it does for me hold it back from being like this masterwork, stroke of genius of horror. I think it shows a guy who has a very good grasp on what he's doing, and it's a great first shot. I do think that, like I said though, it is a little too slow and not enough payoff for most people. I
Oh
think most
yeah.
people are gonna fucking look at the last scene and think it's dumb as shit. The final shot that I was talking about where she goes into the woods. I'm like, most people are gonna be like, that was fucking stupid and a waste of my time.
I
I
will
mean, I'm being
be.
honest. That's what most people are gonna think.
Yeah, I am wondering. Like a friend of mine went to go see it, and she actually commented on kind of something you pointed out, that some of the scenes are really mumbly.
Yeah.
She was having like an even harder time. Like she was having a real hard time hearing any of the dialogue, and there could be various factors for that. The theater
Yeah.
she was at could have been shit, but I'm interested to see what she thought overall, because one, it doesn't strike me as a movie that she would normally go to. So this is something that, had reached like a pop culture crescendo
Yeah.
with the hype around it, so that's why she went to go see it, because everyone was like, this is such a great horror film.
And I think the people who I don't, the people who would skip out on your next Friday the 13th by going to this because of the critics' reviews, I think a very small portion of them agree with the critics. And like I said, most people are going to be like, that wasn't scary. That was dumb. The ending was dumb. I didn't understand what they were saying. I just think most people are just not going to dig it. I liked it, but like and it gave me a lot to think about. Like, we had a lot to discuss about this, but at the end of the day, it's a strong debut, and I think, but I don't think it's anywhere near what critics made it out to be.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Final score?
I'm gonna give it a 3, as I said. I mean, that probably seems high for my criticism of it, but I think it's a well-made movie. It's just I did not come away from it going, this is like something super special. So,
I for all my hemming and hawing about it, I think it is a pretty good film, and it's one I'm kind of interested to see again. It gives you enough to think about and to talk about if you're willing to engage with it, that I'm going with 4 with it. Like, I just think that we've seen similar but better. And yeah, I do think that if I just went in not knowing anything and there was no hype, I might have been like the critics. I might have been like, this is amazing, you gotta see it. But if we're just being completely honest, like I said, I think most people are gonna fucking hate it. So.
And so I'm leaving the theater, and you're gonna think I'm absolutely insane for this, but I'm leaving and I'm going, I think Lords of Salem was a better witch movie.
That's a funny one because I remember not liking it when I watched it. But it's one I've heard a couple people kick around as like a really good horror movie.
It's a interesting descent into madness as well. It's I don't think it's a I think I gave it a 3 when I reviewed it for our site. So I don't know how much better, but I think that as terms of like more traditional horror and kind of arty horror, Lords of Salem was
No,
pretty
yeah,
fucked up.
it was super out there and artsy too. But I think that Rob Zombie, with his background, like he's kind of like a he likes to draw, right? Like
I mean, he's
cartoons and
everything.
stuff.
Like he, I mean, yeah,
He's got a visual, he's got an eye
it's
for visual.
very, very visual. Like even if his films aren't good, he has a style to them.
And him going super bizarre and like really trying something different there. He had to do some really like weird, creepy imagery and stuff. And I do like as much as I did not enjoy what was it called? Lords of Salem?
Lords of Salem, yeah.
As much as I did not enjoy that, it was such a step in the right direction for him in terms of just writing mature characters and whatnot that like I could almost give him a pass on it. Just because, like, he usually just does like these swearing hillbillies, and
Yes.
his writing's usually pretty awful, So, and this was it was he was trying, to do something adult. But yeah, anyway, so yeah, back to
The witch.
The Witch. I give it a 4.
There you go.
It's good, but just listen to our warnings on this. We both also. We saw a lot of the same things this week.
Yeah.
Kind of actually planned it out a little bit. We both watched one of the bigger movies from last year about the first big rap group, probably. And definitely
Sure.
probably the most influential people in rap, even still today. They've gone on to create empires. Straight Out of Compton, Chris.
Yeah.
Break it down for us, man.
It's a biopic about NWA. Dr. Dre, Eazy-E, Ice Cube, MC Ren, and DJ Yella, the last two, which kind of get forgotten in
I was
time.
like, is DJ Yella even in
Yes, yeah. They
it?
it's funny. It's like a the Arabian Prince was actually an original member before MC Ren was, I believe. And they don't even mention him at all. He's not it. He actually left before their first album hit though, so.
That's funny because I think they did a pretty good job of hitting all the notes of all the things we know. Like they're all is kind of in this big epic 2.5 hour movie.
Yeah, I mean
Anyways.
they have to tighten some stuff up
Yeah.
considerably, but it is a spanning from like 1985 or so through Eazy-E's death, which I'm drawing a blank on exactly when that was,
I
but.
want to say, just based on watching the movie, like it had to be what, 93, 94, maybe 95.
95. Yeah, he was
Yeah.
95. Yeah, cause, like, but it chronicles from like, when NWA kind of starts out all the way through basically the end of Dr. Dre's involvement in Death Row Records and Eazy-E's death.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. It's just like I enjoy films about the music industry. I particularly like, we talked about this a little bit last week. This era of hip hop is probably my favorite. Like,
Yeah, mine too.
late 80s through like mid to, late 90s, like that decade or so. NWA, super influential throughout all of that. I mean,
I
Dr.
was a
Dre
little
and
white
Ice Cube.
kid. I was a little white kid from the suburbs of Chicago, and I had it straight out of Compton.
Yeah,
So.
it's like, it's just one of those kind of like all-encompassing albums, and they touch on that a little bit where they show some like news clips or something, or there might have been an interview where they're talking to Ice Cube and asking him about like the white kids in the suburbs buying his music or whatever. It's a
Well, once they start blowing up, you see them, they're like in Houston, and it's like a mostly white crowd.
yeah.
They went from doing these black clubs in like LA or whatever to all of a sudden they're playing for thousands.
Yes, it's just that. It chronicles everything about them. Paul Giamatti plays this fantastic, well, he's not fan the character is not fantastic, the character is disgusting, but he plays Jerry Heller, who is a music producer who.
Didn't they make fun of him in one of their videos? I remember like them. There's some video like Dr. Dre did, and it showed like Eazy-E and this old white guy. Like it's
It's
someone playing.
it's off the Chronic. It's I think it's has Snoop in it as well. I can't remember the song, but yes, that
Yeah.
was they.
They were like making fun of Eazy-E because
Yeah,
Eazy stuck with this guy.
I think they were called, I think they called him Sleazy or something in the
Yeah.
video, and this record producer Jerry Heller, who Ice Cube calls out, basically has. He goes at him from like a racial standpoint, with Jewish,
Yeah.
cuts at him. but Paul Giamatti's fantastic as, because it's almost like early on you think he has their best interests, kind of like, I mean, his as well.
I'm not entirely sure that the movie demonizes him. I think that's probably one of the better things about it, like about his character in the movie. We could get
Right,
into that,
like
but
early on, I don't think it like it definitely he has a turn, but it's also not all his fault. Like Eazy-E was complicit in a lot of that. I think that does come across that, like, hey, for as much as Ice Cube and Dr. Dre may have had issues with Heller, like Eazy-E was also part of that. But in the end, they did come to terms with everything. I can't think of the guy who plays whoever plays Suge Knight was also fantastic.
the casting in this movie is like,
It's spot on. Like, it's great.
first of all, you're gonna see people that you might not even expect to see in it. There's, Snoop Dogg, Tupac, like, dude,
Oh yeah,
everybody.
like there's this fantastic scene or Death Row Records. It's after NWA is broken up. Dr. Dre is producing for Tupac, and they're basically he's playing them the backbeat for California Love, and it's like it's fucking awesome. And he leaves to go have like basically lecture the fuckers in the next room because like
Suge
they're
Knight
having a
and all his
party. Yeah,
boys. Yeah.
it's fantastic. Like just the way things play out and
I thought like the casting was so spot
yeah.
on. Like these guys look like they did back in the day. I think with the one exception for me was Snoop Dogg. I don't think the guy really looked like them. I think Snoop Dogg has such a very distinct face that
It was hard.
it'd probably be hard to find someone that looks just like him. But God, for like Tupac, I thought I was looking at his ghost. Like I was just like, whoa. And that was for a guy that shows up for 30 seconds in the movie, you know?
Yeah, it's funny. Like they throw these guys in there very shortly, and it's like, yeah, that's what I remember about this era. I think like the acting is mostly really, really well done.
I think it was terrific performances, really. I really did.
I mean, and it's a, well, it's like two, a little bit over 2 hour movie. They
It's two and a
gloss
half.
over the 2.5 hours.
Yeah, it's two and a half.
It didn't feel like 2.5, I'll tell you that. Like it's just, it's riveting, but
Yeah.
they do gloss over some stuff that they kind of make these guys out a little bit better than they were. But I think it's fantastic. Like it's really good.
I like I said, I thought that the performances were terrific in it. And even though I knew all the beats it was gonna hit, I knew everything that was gonna happen, and somehow I was still like, I think that what it goes to show is that the story of like their story of NWA is a really compelling, just kind of crazy story, and this movie is just a awesome snapshot of that era, you know? Like all those things that like really did happen, you kind of forget and like take for granted, but it's like, dude, that is a crazy story, you know? So yeah, I really liked it. And unlike you, I don't like movies about the music industry, and I don't like biopics at all anyways. So
I'm not really big on like, biopics at all, but like I am fascinated by the politics of the music industry and the backroom deals that go on, and they get that here. Like it goes into pretty good detail.
it was such an interesting time, and the beginning of when they like started off, they're printing their albums on vinyl, dude. Like it's just like holy crap. Another thing that I thought was really great about the movie is the subject matter is strangely eerily timely. A lot of it focuses on one of their big hits, "Fuck the Police," and a lot of the movie shows them even, you know, before they're famous and stuff, getting harassed by the police constantly on the street for no reason. There's a really great scene when they start recording in the
Yeah,
studio,
like
and
they go outside. I guess that they went
they
outside
go
because Do
outside and
Dr.
shoot their
Dre's girlfriend
cars.
had just left. She's taken his son away, and he's kind of out there, and like the rest of them come out, and the cops pull up. Like it's just
For no reason.
fantastic.
Yeah, it's because they're congregating and they're wearing all black or whatever, which I don't even know if that was a gang color. But the
No, it
cops
was
are just
just
being.
saw some guys hanging out like in a neighborhood they shouldn't be in.
Which
And
it's like, well, even when they're in the neighborhoods they should be in, they're getting harassed by cops. They're getting and even harassed almost worse by black cops, and they make a That's one of the lyrics in that song about like the black cops trying to show off to their white buddies or whatever. Anyway, that was a very real problem at the time. It's obviously a very real problem today. And it started to really come into focus during that era because you had the first capturing of an incident of police abuse or whatever on camera. You had the Rodney King case, and that plays into this whole movie. Like I think they spent a significant time dealing with that in the movie, which is, it turns it, you know, this, you know, movie that's just kind of about this rap super group, into something more that is politically relevant today.
Well,
I thought.
remember like what their music was, the reason, like the stuff they were writing about, like and for the most part what gangster rap is, it's not about glorifying that line of life. It's just,
Which I would argue they do kind of glorify it, but
sure,
they're
but
saying that they're
right, well,
reporters.
they're giving you the express, like
Yeah.
they're giving their take on it, on their life, and
Yeah.
it's definitely more real than like dance music or something, right? Like
Yeah.
sure, they're going to glamorize themselves a little bit, but it's a social commentary. Like, gangster rap does have some social commentary on urban youth and urban circumstances, and it's not something that you get out of, like, fluffy pop music, but it's something that also resonated with, tons of people, and not just in the, urban or black community.
Obviously not,
It
because
resonated with, young white kids too. Like,
it blew up. It changed the culture,
yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I guess in a way, it's like the subject matter is almost so strong. Surprisingly, like you just forget how what an amazing story this is. The subject matter is so strong that it's like almost hard to screw this up. But then they also just nail everything. Like they got great casts, great performances. The music, the soundtrack is obviously great. I was like surprisingly entertained and enthralled by the movie, and it, like you said, it did not feel like 2.5 hours long.
It didn't, and it's knowing what I do about parts of this, like parts of the stories about this, and certainly like the feud between like Dr. Dre and Eazy-E, they kind of gloss over that a little bit. Like,
I think they also glossed over some of the inner politics of like why they started to split up. Like it and then they double back and kind of explain it later, like how he was fucking us and that's why we all kind of split up. And then they kind of like explain Suge Knight a little bit after the fact. I think the movie kind of assumes that some of these things, but I
yeah,
don't think
it's
everyone watching it knows.
no, it's like for us that are, fans, or even for like people that maybe aren't, like they at least know who Dr. Dre are and Ice Cube, and like they know more about Ice Cube than the guy who's on like a special victims unit or whatever, right? Like, if you know that, you probably do know who some of these guys are, 'cause you've at least like cursorily followed the culture. I do wonder if, like, you're coming into this cold though, if you get that understanding of, like, I think you
I
could
would
follow the story, but I don't know if you really would get the same understanding of everything.
like, if you're really filling in all the blanks and picking up all the nuances of
Right.
what happened, because like we kind of already have that knowledge. I would love to hear like a teenager's reaction to this film, like, because they're you grow up now steeped in hip hop. Like to us, it was like a new thing that just kind of exploded out of nowhere, and you're like, this is crazy awesome,
Right.
Yeah, I one just funny random note about the movie. I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm like, I know who Suge Knight is. I know about Death Row, and I'm like, man, and I don't know why I did not remember this because it's knowledge that I knew. But I'm sitting there going, I go, there's no way that Dre's still working with this motherfucker, and like he's not still at Death Row, is he? Like somehow I forgot all about Aftermath. I
Yeah,
forgot.
that
So
ending is great.
that ending hit me so good. I was like, oh yeah, duh. But it was so great to see him finally stand up to Suge Knight because that guy is a piece of shit.
Yes.
To see him just be like, keep all the fucking money, I'm gonna build a bigger empire. And of course he did. Like, dude, that guy is.
Oh yeah, it's like you look at it and like Dre really was the mastermind behind Death Row. Like, excuse the phrase of, here, but he was the doctor behind all of that. Like, Suge Knight was a thug. He still is. I think he's in jail right now. But
I
he's a
looked it up.
thug, and he's a thug that had some money, and he was a thug that was able to kind of slide himself in. He's a weaselly guy that was able to slide in when Dre needed it.
He brute forced his way into the, and he
Sure,
was
but
beating the
he saw
fuck
the
out of people.
cracks. Like, he saw like
He
Ice
saw an
Cube was
opportunity.
leaving, Ice Cube had left, and then like, he saw like, all right, Eazy-E, I see what's going on here. I can make a play for Dre, and then also physically make it so that these guys have to leave.
And to me, he's a bigger villain in the film and in real
Sure.
life than the original manager. What the hell is his name again?
Jerry Heller.
Jerry. I always want to say Harry, but I found the portrayal of him to be really interesting. I think one, Paul Giamatti, who I thought I was sick of. I thought he did a great job with him.
I thought he was fantastic, and they do play him. You, on one hand, you want to hate him because he definitely did kind of take advantage of
You know that outside of the movie though, right?
right.
Yeah, and I kind of did too. Like I knew that, yeah, their manager kind of fucked them, but
But you can also see it, like, in the way, like, I mean, there's a scene where Ice Cube comes in into the hotel, and Eazy-E and Heller are they're having brunch or something, and Eazy-E's eating lobster, and Ice Cube's like, yo, like, man, we're like eating fucking hamburgers. In-N-Out, he calls it In-N-Out, I think, or something like that.
In and out,
He's like, we're eating fucking burgers and you're having lobster. Like, where's our fucking contracts? Like, where's our money? Like, so, and that's where you kind of like get the, you understand that, all right, some fucked up here. Like,
Well, I do think though that manager thought he was look like at least the way he's portrayed in the film. That he thought he was looking out for them. He thought he was doing right for himself as well, and it
oh,
was all just
certainly.
business.
Yeah,
Because he,
he's a businessman. He's a music
because
businessman.
I know, but even when he gets confronted with it at the end, he's like, yeah, it is just business. But like you could tell he genuinely
Yes,
cared
I
about
don't know
Z.
if I don't know if he ever cared about the others, but he did genuinely care about Eazy-E. Like, he
At
was
least in the
heartbroken
film.
when, yes, I don't know if that was in real life. I don't know these guys, so, but the film does make it out to be that, like, Heller really did care about him, but somewhere along the way, things got fucked up, and
Like the movie is like, you know, even if he is a piece of shit in his mind, he's a good guy, which I really like. I thought like that portrayal, and I almost feel like he should have been nominated for something. Part of it was due to the writing, but part of it was Giamatti just. The way he comes out and like defends them when the cops are were
oh,
fucking with
right,
them,
yeah.
you know, it was great. He's like, "That's police harassment. And get up, guys." You know, like I don't know. I really like. We've gone on about this for a while now, but I really enjoyed this movie, man.
Yeah, it's really good. And if you have any interest in in NWA or kind of like hip hop history
Or pop culture
or
history
pop
and
culture history, yeah, because it definitely does touch on that era of, and as you said, it's very timely for today's culture as well. So I think it's well worth a watch. There, I mean, as I said, there's things that they kind of gloss over, or don't touch on, just a tad for me, but I think it's great. It's a really good movie.
I wrestled with this because I think it's a fantastic movie. I am giving it 4 stars. I think it's very entertaining. To me, it's not like a great all-time, you know, bumping it up to a 5, but for its genre, for its type of
Oh
film,
yeah.
it doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, I'm with you on the four. I think, like, for me, I don't know if I could show this to just anybody. Like, I think they would have to be interested in kind of
I don't
what's going on.
know. I don't know.
I'm
I
pretty
really
sure
don't
that
know.
there are friends of mine that have, like, they kind of like look at me and go like, why the fuck do you listen to rap? Like I listen to anything, man. Like,
You don't have to care about rap to care about the
but I
music
think to get them,
industry.
no, you're 100% right, but I do think that, like, hey, I want you to watch this movie that's, kind of like lays the groundwork for, for so much in the music industry, but it just happens to focus on, this rap group from the early 80s. It's like, or late 80s. Like, I don't know.
I think it still plays well. I mean, just Eazy-E, the guy who played Eazy-E, I'm
Yeah, he
sorry,
was
I don't know
great.
the actor's name.
Jason Mitchell.
Like he didn't get as much talk as like kind of Ice Cube's son who plays Ice Cube in it,
Hey,
or you know.
O'Shea Jackson Jr. was great too. I think they're actually the two strongest.
Yeah, I think Dre's a little, he's okay, but he comes off like Dre, which is kind of aloof, you know, like
Right.
but the like Eazy-E, like the guy who played, you said Jason Mitchell was his name?
Yes.
He's not getting enough talk for his performance in this, 'cause there's just like times where you just look at his
Yeah, he's
face and
great.
you could see the vulnerability in his face and you just feel bad for the guy. And just, you know, like his devotion to, I love when Dre comes to talk to him about how they're getting screwed over by their manager. He's like, dude, we're still rich, are we not? And we're rich because this guy believed in us or whatever. You know, like I could totally see the why he would think that way, you know,
Right,
but
like, hey,
at the same time,
this guy, like, we have more money than we ever thought we'd
who
have. Like,
cares if we're not getting, if we're getting, you know, a couple million when we should be getting more? We're rich. Who cares?
right.
And
And I think, you know, from, you know, Dr. Dre's analytical side, like, he's like, no, but that's all ours. Like,
yeah,
I
but
can
like,
do this.
no, but I could see it from both
Yeah,
sides.
yeah.
I see what Dre is saying too when he says, dude, we are the talent and we're getting screwed over. Like, that business is business, and the business of it is we're getting screwed over, you know? Yeah, anyways, great film.
It's
And I
great.
do love the end credits too, where it kind of like fast forwards us through from that era to the present, where you're getting to see like what happened to these guys, and
Yeah, and
also
I.
like showing footage from the old back in the day from '88 and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's a really well done movie.
Yep.
Like I said, I almost wanted to give it five. Speaking of well done, or not so well done, Pixels.
That's a movie.
We watched it.
Yes. That we did.
Widely regarded as one of the worst films of last year. It was on We Hate Movies podcast I listened to as their worst of 2015. Chris, what is Pixels?
What is it's an Adam Sandler movie. Very, I
Basically, yeah.
think that's really explanation enough. Really, like,
I don't know. Is it though?
it's an
It
Adam
feels
Sandler
like a.
movie.
It's a. It feels like a kind of fun, dumb kids movie with a little bit of Adam Sandler humor thrown in. Not. I
Maybe.
didn't know it was that dirty through most of it, or like.
I've never really thought of Adam Sandler. Like, his widely regarded good films. I mean, that's subjective. I never really thought like his films are dirty. Like,
It
they're
just is not.
juvenile humor.
I didn't get that out of most of it. I thought it was mostly just a dumb movie about aliens
It's
attacking us.
dumb. Yes, it's so they the beginning of the movie, which really like, it's a bad start to the movie. The first 10, 15 minutes of this movie are
Really? I
terrible.
thought it was a good start.
Oh
I
my
was like,
God,
wait a second, this is
I
better
hated
than I thought.
everything. I hated everything
You didn't
about
like
the
the stuff
start
in
of
the
the movie.
80s? And they're
No.
like playing the arcades as their kid and stuff. Like,
I like that. Like, what starts off just like, I don't like these kids. Like you start off the Kevin James character, his kid, like he steals like the little girl's like lemonade stand money, like to go to the arcade. And he's not even good at arcade games. He's terrible. And then they go to this like arcade championship. Was it like the 1986 championship or something? I don't know.
Whatever.
1982, I think. They go
Probably.
to, yeah, whatever. They go to like this thing where, you know, they're having like an arcade championship game. They're eliminating people. Adam Sandler's kid character is playing, and he's going up against oh, what the fuck is his name? Peter Dinklage, who is
The Billy Mitchell character.
yeah, and it's like also like disgusting. Just like he's like just like he's like 10 years old. And he's like smacking girls' asses, and he's just not like I didn't like anything about any of these people. Like they, I didn't find them sympathetic at all. So I'm like, this is terrible. And then they, for some reason, they package all this shit up and they put it into a time capsule and launch it into fucking space.
Was that something that happens in the 80s? Like, did they do something like that where they sent a bunch of like stuff out into space to show aliens? I feel like that's something that did
I'm
happen.
sure it did. Like it sounds believable, right? Like, I
I
mean,
feel like we've sent something out into space that
yeah.
would take forever to get anywhere, but if someone found it at some point, they'd be able to understand our culture. Like, that's the idea of it.
Right.
But it's the culture from 1982,
And
and so when
it's
the aliens discover that, they come. One, why do the aliens feel like they have to mimic our culture to attack us? That doesn't make any sense.
yeah, I don't know. So yeah, the aliens, they attack us using pixelated monsters and arcade stuff. Like it makes zero sense. It's just an excuse to like have some cool visual effects and
And
have
they are really cool visual effects, I think.
Have Adam Sandler and Kevin James run around doing goofy stuff. And honestly, when it gets to that part, I think it's actually okay.
I think there are
There are parts that are really cool.
some fun scenes.
Yeah, like I like the centipede scene.
That was very fun. They're like, there's like basically like the arcade game Centipede.
Yeah.
They're but these aliens are coming out of the sky like that, and they're down on the ground shooting them. Really cool looking, pretty
Yeah. Oh,
fun.
it's fantastic looking. And then the Pac-Man chase scene was pretty cool.
Surprisingly well done,
Yeah, it's
like in
really
terms of
cool.
action. Yeah,
I think that might be it for what's good in the movie,
that's
but
about it. That's
yeah,
about
it's
it. Everything else is like misogynistic and fucking just all sorts of horrible or dumb. Like the fact that the Kevin James is somehow the president of the United States, and I hate to, I'm kind of stealing from EWA movies here, but I could not get it out of my head while I was watching it. One, how the fuck is he the president of the United States? He's a dumb fuck, dumb fat fuck. And then he like somehow goes and hangs out in a bar with his buddy from fucking when he was a kid, who like now works as like a cable repairman, like or whatever the fuck.
That he basically
Get
works
out of
for the
here. Get the
he works
fuck
for
out of
like
here.
the Best Buy Geek Squad.
Yeah, like he still hangs out with this guy? Are you fucking kidding me? And then as soon as they see the aliens, he's like, "Oh, that's Centipede. We gotta get Adam Sandler on the line here." Yeah, fucking any little thing in it you could like pick apart and just be like, "What the fuck?" Or like the way like when Adam Sandler's going to, he's like going to repair this lady's or set up this lady's cable or something in the beginning, and you know, some housewife, and he just starts hitting on her. Like,
Yeah.
and then when she turns him down, she's a snob. I'm just like, dude, this is so fucking tone deaf, all the stuff in this. For what should be just like a dumb kind of kids movie, really.
There was another scene that I found was a little bit funny. It's actually before any of the good pixel scenes, but I did laugh a little bit when Josh Gad went off on the Marines. Like he's given like the motivational speech.
Oh, yeah.
It was like this is so dumb and highly inappropriate, but it kind of was a little funny.
Yeah, like, honestly, this is kind of like, it's not super terrible.
Yeah,
It's
I don't get the this is the worst movie I've seen in years. It's like
bad.
it's
It's
not a good
don't get
movie,
me wrong.
yes.
Yeah,
It is a high budget bad movie, but it is like I've seen way worse. Like
but it is. It's, I don't want to say it's so bad it's good because it's not. But
no, it's not that level.
it's a mildly enjoyable turn off your mind bad movie. Like there are part like I like the Centipede sequence and the Pac-Man sequence are they're fun and they make up a good part of the movie. Although I have to say, after the Pac-Man sequence, I was ready for it to be over. I thought it was over. The movie plays it as if it's over. And then they're like, "Nope, we have to have a little bit more." And I can't even remember what the fuck happens after that. It's just another big action set
Well,
piece.
yes, there's another big action set piece, but then it's like the aliens get angry because they cheated because for some reason Peter Dinklage's character was using cheat codes, which all ties back to like the beginning where he beat
It all
Adam
ties back
Sandler.
to how Adam Sandler has to be better than
Yes,
everyone else
everyone
in
else at the
in
end.
all of his movies.
Yes.
And there's a part at the end where he's like, just admit to him that he was
Right.
the best. It's like,
It's
come
this is
on, are you
so
serious?
stupid.
These
This
guys
is...
are in their 40s. Who gives a shit anymore?
Yes. It was so dumb.
Just admit that you're the best. He's like, you're the best, man.
And that actually so they end up on like the alien spaceship or whatever, and it's for some reason a Donkey Kong level. It's terrible. It's a bad scene. But yeah, not the worst movie I
No, I
saw.
expected it to be kind of worse than it was. I give it a 2.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's a two. It's watchable. Like parts of it are enjoyable, like we said. It's nothing special. It's also nothing like that will make you vomit from watching it, so.
Yeah, it's and you could like all the dumb things in it, like if you're paying attention, like you know the fact that like Kevin James hangs out with his buddy at a bar, like when he's the president of the United States, like those are kind of fun things to pick at as you're watching it, going, this is fucking so stupid, like come on, really? So yeah, I don't know, it's a two for yeah.
You want to briefly touch on the one other movie you watched?
Oh yeah, the one other movie I watched was called I Smile Back. It is an independent addiction drama, which I feel like we kind of get one of these every couple of years. Starring Sarah Silverman as a housewife who is basically on the verge of losing her family because of drug and alcohol addiction. It's very grim and a very realistic portrayal of that. Most people will find it extremely unpleasant. Sarah Silverman does a fantastic job in it. She should have been nominated. That's how good a job she does in it. The movie goes very dark places, but very realistic in terms of her addiction and everything. Like, just the way she'd be like in the bathroom hiding and doing lines and stuff, and all sorts of things. The way she like, there's a part early on where they're having dinner and she has no appetite, so she's just sitting there drinking wine with her family. And one of the kids says that one of his classmates said that, Chris Columbus and we came over and we like killed all the Indians and Thanksgiving is really celebrating genocide and this and that. And she's sitting there listening to it. And then later that night, she gets totally fucked up on coke and pills and whatever. And she calls this other kid's mom at like after midnight to yell out about it. You know what I mean? Like shit like that, where you're just like, that is the type of shit that will happen. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then very darker places than that, where she goes, where she's having getting drunk and having sex with guys, cheating on her husband and this and that. A large portion of the movie, though, is her like somewhat early on, her husband figures out, he knows what's going on with her, and he knows she's not taking certain actual medications that she needs to be taking. And instead, she's just doing a bunch of coke and this and that. He sends her to rehab, and a big portion of the movie is her kind of going, being, she goes to recovery, and it's her trying to adjust to life being sober. So she is sober for a huge portion of it, but as with real life, just because you went to rehab doesn't mean you stay sober forever. You have your stumbles along the way. And then it goes really grim near the end. And I think most people, if you would watch one of these like indie, like addiction drama type movies, they're gonna think it's really well done. But I think the ending is just, it's too grim and it's too sudden and abrupt, where like, you're like, oh man, this is getting really, really fucked up, and then it just ends. But I do think it is. I saw it got mixed reviews. I think it sits at 50 something percent on Rotten Tomatoes. I go in the positive direction. I think Sarah Silverman's performance is a sign of things to come from her. I can't wait to see her do more dramatic roles. She was great in it. So I would give it a very, very strong 3 stars.
Okay. I have it on my watch list, so.
Yeah, check it out, man. If you want to be depressed and heartbroken,
Yeah, that
an
sounds
hour and a half.
fantastic.
Yeah.
We are running a little late here, so
Yeah.
maybe next week we'll touch on some of the TV we're watching.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try and watch that Cabin Fever remake.
What? Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's out.
I finally saw that exists, and I was just like, what? Like,
Yes.
how?
I hear it's terrible, so I can't wait for this. But yeah, I want to watch that and
How are you going to be watching that?
Amazon Instant On
Oh,
Demand.
it's on there, huh?
It's not part of Prime, so you have to
Oh,
rent it, but
oh.
yeah, it's on all video on demand probably everywhere though,
It's
so.
just so interesting to remake a movie that wasn't a big hit in the first place and also isn't old.
I mean, yes, it's not super old. It's like what, 15 years or something like that, but
Oh, is it really?
yeah, I think it is about 15 years old. But yeah,
Doesn't.
not super popular. I really like Cabin Fever, the original, but
There's a few parts that are a little goofy, but I just don't see
yeah, like
how making a slick sequel
makes
does
zero
anything
sense.
for it. Yeah.
None at all. But I'm interested to see what the hell that is. And that Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon sequel comes out on Netflix this week, so
What?
yeah, I might give that a go.
I kind of did not enjoy Crouching Tiger at all, so can't say I could get on that.
I just want to see what it is.
Yeah, I got if I'm very lucky with my timing, I will have seen Room, which is nominated for a bunch of stuff, and I think that might be it for me. It might be pretty light week, so I think I'm gonna start to dig through a horror series that I've never watched before, which is Phantasm. I've never seen any of them. I feel like I'm a bad horror fan if I haven't, so
I
I'm gonna
have
start
seen the
from
original
that.
Phantasm, but
I
there's
will
like what, the three
probably.
sequels after that?
Yeah, that goes, that first one was 78 or something, and it goes, they went all the way through the 90s with it. I just feel like I know I've heard things about it, like it's weird and stuff, but I just feel like it's one of the bigger ones that I, as a horror fan, I haven't seen. So I'm gonna at least see the first one by next week, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, but it might be a light week for me. That might be it, because
Well,
I am
we'll have
wrapping
some
up
stuff.
Fargo. I'm watching Fargo on disc, so I'm getting those one at a time from
Yes,
Netflix.
we'll talk Phantasm if you see it. You'll touch on Fargo. We'll talk some Better
Talk
Call
about
Saul.
some squat cobbler.
Yes, that line, Jesus. All right, we'll be back next week.
Movie
Movie
dudes.
dudes.
Do 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 do.